The Wordy Rapping Hood from the Tom Tom Club from around about 1983. It's a fairly resonating year as we introduce our guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood on this Friday. Tracy Hutchison here with you. 7 minutes past 12 on RPP FM, the voice of the peninsula. Great to have your company on this Friday, the 1st of July. And our guest, or the premise of this program, if you're a regular to it, is that we profile in interview people who are living and loving life on the Mornington Peninsula. And today's guest was born in the same year that that record was released. I'm not sure that I feel really crashingly old or it was just a particularly good year, probably a little bit of both. Marnie Turner is our guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood today, and it's her life that we're going to be, winding our way through. She's the founding president of the Country Women's Association Peninsula Belles, which is the CWA, the local branch of the CWA on the peninsula. She's got many hats that she wears. She's also a spokesperson for Vic Roads. That's the day job. And in the time she's got left, she runs her own PR and creative agency under Marnie Luan. And I'm really delighted to welcome you into RPP and the Wordy Rapping Hood. Great to see you and great to meet you.
Thanks, Tracy.
Our first question on this program is always, what brought you to the peninsula? In your case, the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree either, which is often the case for people here who born and bred here. Tell us your story.
Well, I was born here, Tracy, 33 years ago yesterday, in fact.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So in Frankston, and I haven't left. So I just love it down here 33 years later.
So tell me about those growing up years. So the early 80s, born in Frankston, growing up. In the 80s, you also moved to Mount Eliza as a wee lass. I think you're only 2 or 3 years old when you moved to Mount Eliza. What's your recollections of growing up in Mount Eliza as a young girl during the 80s and early 90s?
I think the biggest thing is the old playing in the street. Being in Mount Eliza, you know, I was going to Mount Eliza Primary School as of 88, and that was when my youngest brother was born. And I just remember making friends and them all being right on your doorstep. So you could walk up to the local store, ride your bikes, all that sort of stuff. It was great. And having the beach just on your doorstep, I don't think you could ask for anything more, really.
Mount Eliza in those days, as it still is now, very, very lush, lots of trees, and it was kind of like this idyllic, and still is, but had this great sense of sort of an idyllic little wonderland right there on the border of Frankston, still close enough to the city but far enough away.
That's it.
What did you imagine your life was going to deliver you when you first started dreaming about what you might do as a big girl?
Oh, to be honest, I remember saying to Mum, I just want to get married at the little white church on Nepean Highway in Mount Eliza, good old St. James the Less, and I did. So that was fabulous. So
there was also a lot of, we'll get to that in a minute, but there was also, it is a pretty extraordinary, lovely little church, the St. James the Less in Mount Eliza, and it still has that sense of the old parish church and very sort of a great signifier for the area. You also started to find, you know, in terms of the things that you started to shape your life as someone who's sort of gone on to, I guess, run their own creative PR agency, also a little bit of work in the media as well, working at Vic Roads, but the CWA. So I'm going to try and unlock some of that and see how much of that might have actually been evident in those early days at school. You were a natural leader, a natural, I'll take the lead here. What sort of little kid were you?
I must say the one thing that resonates with me, and I think Mum and Dad will be pretty proud hearing this. The one thing they always told me was never be a sheep. Always be the leader and never be a sheep. Mm. If you're the leader, you'll make it. And if you're the sheep, you'll just go along. And I don't want to just go along in my life. Mm. So, that's always resonated with me. Mm. So, and I think I've taken that into my adult life as well.
There was also your creative side was also, you know, the real sparks and lights were going on for you creatively at school, which often happens for us. That's where we really start finding our great passions. So who were those people? You know, you schooled at Mount Eliza Primary and then Mount Eliza Secondary. There's always teachers, you know, when we look back at those formative times at school. Who were they for you and what particular subjects or what was it about those teachers that thought, oh, yeah, this person really understands me?
Yeah, well, I think I said to you earlier off air, I remember the first time I picked up a pair of knitting needles, and that was at Mount Eliza Primary. And we had, I can't quite remember what it was all about, but I was in grade one, and we all got together and a heap of parents came in to teach us different things. And I remember Shane Gardner, if you're listening, his mum actually tried to teach me how to knit that day, and I was hopeless. I had no idea. So I was grade one, so it was pretty much expected at that age. But definitely once I went to Mount Eliza Secondary College, I met Mr. David Gregory, and he was my art teacher, and he was just amazing. One of those people that just has full, I guess, support of all his students, and Ron Barron as well. But Mr. Gregory, I remember him saying to me, you don't need to go into PR, you need to be in textile design. And I said to him, don't be silly, just don't be silly. And now all these years later, that's pretty much where I've headed. Still in the PR, of course, but I just have this love for textile design and printing that hasn't left me.
So what was it, we'll get into that in a minute, but what was it about what he taught you, or perhaps what you might have been learning at home at the same time that actually resonated around textiles and knitting and you know, very much that those skills, the craft skills that are part of the contemporary maker movement, as it's called now. But, you know, in our days it was crafting, it was crocheting, it was knitting, it was making things at home, making your own clothes, making your own cards, doing all the things that came in some ways out of necessity, but now it's actually quite fashionable. What was going on for you at that time? Was that a big part of your home life as well?
My mum's always been a knitter. My nana was a knitter, but they neither were really crocheters. And I think that almost set up a challenge for me to become a crocheter rather than a knitter. And even today, I'm a much better crocheter than I am knitter. It's much faster and instant gratification. But I found with my art classes, I took art as a major subject, and it was just the creativity behind it. It's just the way my brain works. It would tick over and just create something, whether it was in paint or we did a bit of etching. I remember that back in high school, and lino cutting, and just those different I guess you'd call them handicrafts these days, that you don't see a lot of. So it was, I just fostered that and knew that if I let it go, my daughter would never learn it. So that's, yeah.
There's also the way you talk about it as well, Marnie, there's a sense of, there's a freedom in being able to explore your creative self when you're not, I guess, having to turn it into anything else other than the creative expression purely for its own sake. How much of that, you know, did really sort of, I guess, really, really sort of turned you on to that idea that this is something that is absolutely I'm meant to be doing?
I think for me it's almost a meditation. You can get lost in it in a way. I know in my previous home, I think I took up about 3 bedrooms. It was a 3-bedroom house. So I did get to a point where if I didn't start selling it or exhibiting it and things like that, it was just the craft stash. So I think it went from art through to craft and now finally a business and then the CWA. So it's certainly evolved and it's something I love. It's part of my everyday. I get home from a busy day at work. I do 12-hour shifts in our good old traffic management centre at Vic Roads. And I'll come home and I'll crochet 2 or 3 lines on a blanket that I'm working on, which I expect will take another year to complete. But I can just wind down crocheting, perhaps with a glass of Shiraz. We're talking midweek. So a glass of Shiraz and a few lines of crochet and ready for bed.
Yeah. The Peninsula, of course, is not a bad place to pick up a nice glass or a bottle of Shiraz. 12:15, RPPFM is where you are. The Wordy Rapping Hood is the show. Tracy Hutchison here with you. Our Friday show, which profiles people on the Peninsula doing interesting, varied things, and Marnie Turner is our guest today. She's the founding president of the CWA Peninsula Bells, also works at Vic Roads, has a number of hats and runs her own creative agency as well, very much focusing on that that idea of the handmade, which has become quite the contemporary thing. I'm going to ask you firstly, because you've talked about being the knitter and that that crafting has been a big part of your life. And I guess the view many people have of the CWA is that it's a group for women who like to do those sorts of things. Of course, it's been a group, it's been an organisation that's been so critical to women over decades as a very contemporary, politically and socially aware organisation. And my motivation to seek you out actually was brought about by the resolution that the CWA passed relatively recently to back marriage equality. And I thought, wow, this is actually exactly the sort of resolution that reflects the women that I know that have been involved in the CWA over the years. What attracted you, though, initially? And tell us how you came to be involved with the CWA and to found a branch here as a local woman, but for younger women on the peninsula.
Absolutely. I think I'd always been searching for that outlet that I could, I guess, embrace that leadership style that I do love, bit of networking and somehow roll in the creativity. And I'd gone to Rotary to a few meetings and it sort of hit the nail on the head for the leadership, but not quite obviously the craft. And it also hit the nail on the head for me for, I guess, giving back to the community. So I went to Rotary, joined the local church again and went and headed back to St. James the Less. And then I found CWA. I guess the biggest drawback from CWA was the fact that there were no night branches and I was working full time as a 30-year-old and actually couldn't join. There was no way that I could interact with them. Meetings were during the day, crafternoons were during the day. So I contacted the group president at the time on the Mornington Peninsula and left my details, and I think it was about 18 months, 2 years later, she called me and said, we're starting a night branch. So that was really exciting, and I think we would have had about 25 young women turn up to that. I don't think there would have been anyone over the age of 45 who attended because everyone was working full-time. It was the perfect opportunity to join.
And so in terms of what that reflects, you know, obviously this is an organisation that's had a long and very proud history, came into the fore during the wars really as a place for women to find each other and to be supported, but has actually been a very important social and socially progressive organisation in many ways, and it's not necessarily the reputation that the CWA has. How did you view the CWA, I guess, before you've been involved, and how has it informed your view about what the role of the organisation is now that you continue to have your involvement?
I certainly joined thinking, great, craft outlet. A lot of older women who can teach me their own skills, especially smocking. I need to learn smocking still. But preserves, cooking, all that sort of thing, and that real network and supportive environment. But I joined and I just had my eyes opened. I've learned a lot about the history of the CWA. And we're talking right back to the days where the women would come into town with their husbands off the farms in rural Victoria. They'd come in and the CWA provided a place that they could go with their children just to socialise, support each other while their husbands worked. And that actually started the first maternal health centres in Australia. So back then, that's what was needed. There was somewhere that women could go to make sure their children were healthy and be fed and breastfeed and things like that in the comfort of and safety of other women. CWA New South Wales recently actually supported the legalisation of medical marijuana. Now, that's something that I would never have expected to hear from the CWA. And now, only a few weeks ago, CWA Victoria is supporting equality in marriage. So it's just amazing.
How do those votes happen, those resolutions even come to be on the table? Because obviously we know that tomorrow is a federal election and marriage equality is become one of the flashpoint issues for both sides of politics. It was a pretty bold, I thought, declaration on the eve of a federal election campaign where this is a big issue, whether or not there'll be a plebiscite, depending on which side of which colour of vote you're going to cast tomorrow, whether there'll be a plebiscite or whether or not we vote for a government that's committed to bringing in the legislation. To my recollection, it was the first time I'd really seen the CWA as an organisation almost sort of throw a grenade into a political environment. How did that come about, that vote?
It's actually really simple. It comes back to every branch in Victoria having the opportunity to actually put forward a resolution And then it simply gets voted on in their branch as to which one they'd like to put up. And then the group that they're a part of, so we're a part of the Mornington Peninsula group down here, they decide which ones then go up to the state conference. It gets to the state conference and it's simply presented and voted on. It's that simple.
And it was quite a convincing vote, as I understand. Have you got the what the actual votes were? It was quite convincing. It wasn't a close vote at all.
No, and I think the biggest eye-opener for a lot of people was that you would have two women sitting next to each other, and one had a child who had been married, was quite happy having children and whatnot, and the woman next to them, their child couldn't get married to the person they loved. And that was a big deal. There was a woman who actually said, I have two children. One is gay and one is not. One can marry the person they love and the other one can't. And that's not okay.
In terms of what the impact that the CWA coming out and supporting that issue on the eve of a federal election campaign through all the various spokespeople in the CWA into the spotlight immediately. What has that done for the CWA, do you think, as someone who's been involved over the last few years, as a younger woman who's engaged in a very contemporary young way?
I think there's probably still a long way to go, to be honest. I did watch a segment on Four Corners a little while ago that basically said the CWA is no longer just tea and scones. But to be honest, being in it now, it hasn't been that way for a long time. Mm. It's still a very important part of it because I can't make scones. So I still need
to
learn that.
It's hard.
I know. But it's such a small part, especially when you get to state level.
Mm. Marnie Turner is with us. She's the founding president of the CWA Peninsula Bells branch, which is the local Mornington Peninsula branch. She also has another hat when she's driving up to town a few days a week. She works for Vic Roads as a spokesperson, media spokesperson, and has her own creative agency, Marnie Luan. We'll pause for a minute. We've managed to sort of gabble on in true women's style. It's nearly 25 minutes past 12. All we needed was a cup of tea and a couple of those scones and we would have been right. Let's pause for a minute because you've brought in a couple of songs that you'd like to play, and this one is from a local and you know this person. So tell us the story.
Good old Lachlan Bryan and the Wilds. So I've chosen Dragging My Chain. It actually features Zoe Rinkell as well. Now Lachlan and Zoe are both from Mount Eliza. Their drummer, Matt, is from Frankston. I'm not sure about the other guys. I'm sure they're in the area as well. But Zoe and Lachlan were both Mount Eliza Primary. Zoe was Mount Eliza Secondary and then headed over to Peninsula School, and Lachlan was at Peninsula School. So it's a great local song. They've been doing great things, and this album actually won a Golden Guitar for Alternative Album. So
fantastic. Well, let's have a listen to it. So this is Dragging My Chain, Lachlan Bryan and The Wilds featuring Zoe Rinkell, and we can certainly say that the CWA are not doing that. From Peninsula Locals, Lachlan Bryan and the Wilds featuring Zoe Rinkell, and the song Dragging My Chain, the selection of our guest on the Wordy Rapping Hood here on Audible PFM on this Friday, just on for 12:30. And our guest is Marnie Turner, the founding president of the CWA Peninsula Bells. Lots of other hats that we'll talk to Marnie about in a moment. Marnie Turner, our guest, the founding president of the CWA Peninsula Bells, the local Mornington Peninsula branch of the CWA, also does some moonlighting at Vic Roads and runs her own PR creative agency when she's not trying to catch up on some sleep. We talked a lot, Marnie, in the opening part of our conversation about what drew you to the CWA, what you were looking for, that creative outlet. For a lot of people, the Royal Show is really the place where we often see very visible signs of the work of the CWA in the incredible Preserves Hall. And you've had quite a bit of success with your preserves. So obviously hanging about with the CWA women has paid off. Particularly your quince jelly and your quince paste, as I understand it.
Yes. In fact, actually, the Red Hill show, that one.
I know that.
Blue ribbons at Red Hill. Mm. I think it was last year. I didn't actually enter this year. Mm. We're a bit busy with a little one-year-old. So, but certainly the Royal Melbourne show. I think no one can go to the Royal Melbourne show without having scones in the scone hall.
The scone hall and a big pot of tea.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people, that is their, I guess, annual engagement with the CWA, and I guess in some ways it's wonderful, but it also reinforces a particular view of that being what the CWA does, which we know is only one part of what the CWA does. What is the local branch, the Peninsula Bells, what does it get up to?
Our biggest thing, I think everyone that ended up joining the Peninsula Bells when we started was about giving back to the community. So for us, it was using those skills in craft or cooking to either raise money or produce items to give to local organisations. And that has been our focus, the local teams. So last year we actually gave blankets to the NICU unit at Frankston Hospital. So all the little babies, all the preemie babies, basically to cover the humidity cribs, so to reduce the amount of light getting into those cribs, and then the mums can actually take those blankets home as well. Mm. So it's really nice to be able to give back things like that. We knit trauma teddies. The trauma teddies go to the Royal Children's Hospital, Frankston Hospital. They go to paramedics just to keep babies and children calm when they're actually going under surgery or have an emergency situation happen, which is great.
And in terms of, so you were the founding president of the Peninsula Bells. You remain involved. I think, is your mum now the president?
She is.
I think she's listening. Hello, Cheryl. What sort of women are involved locally on the Peninsula in the CWA, but particularly that branch? Because there's a whole range of branches on the Peninsula. So how does the Peninsula Bells distinguish from, say, the Rosebud branch of the CWA?
Absolutely. We have around, I think it's 11 or 12 branches at the moment on the Peninsula. Mornington, we have two branches. We've got a day branch and we've also got the Peninsula Bells, which is a night branch. And we've also got a night branch over at Somerville. So for Somerville and the Peninsula Bells, the biggest difference is the fact we're a night branch. Mm. Our demographic appears to be quite younger. Rosebud does have a slightly older demographic. For the Bells, and they're probably the only ones I can talk to in great detail, we range from myself at around 33 on the dot, yeah. Plus one day, right up to about 60-ish, late 60s. But we're talking about people that have teenagers for kids. Myself, I have an almost two-year-old. So our demographic is actually quite broad. And then we love it when we can get to events like our Creative Arts Exhibition, which is here at Peninsula Community Theatre each year. Mm. And we can interact with the older ladies and they sort of feed off us and we feed off them. And it's really great. It's such a great networking event. And then we can see each other down the shops as well. And it's fantastic.
What do you think is the greatest appeal for someone like yourself being involved in the Bells and then the other women who are involved in that sort of forum? What do you get out of it?
I think the biggest thing for me and stuff that's also come back to me is the friendship. There are so many great friendships that have been formed and are still to be formed. Mm. So I've met ladies who I would never have otherwise come into contact with. Some of them are in the Bells, some of them aren't. They're in other branches at Murriduck or Balnowring. We're about to actually start a new branch down in Sorrento. So anyone down there, make sure you Google us and get the details. But, each branch has their own thing. Ours is very much about giving back and also craft for us. Other branches are right into their cooking, their lobbying for government locally and at state level. And a lot of people down here on the Peninsula hold positions up on committee at the state level as well. So we're looking at state presidents, state secretaries and leaders of committees up at state level.
You mentioned, Marnie, that we were talking about the resolution that was passed at national level, wasn't it, for the marriage equality? State level in Victoria, yep. The progressive state. State level of Victoria to pass a resolution to support marriage equality. You talked about your sisters in New South Wales passing a resolution to support the use of the medical use of cannabis. What issues are you finding that the women that you're involved with on a local level here on the Peninsula, what sorts of issues are they looking to want to see the CWA perhaps consider at that resolution level?
Yeah, I think for us at a branch level, we're looking at more of how we can as individuals support our local communities. We support a lot of organisations that are involved with women and children, whether it be domestic violence, whether it be homelessness. There's a lot of homeless population down here on the peninsula. And we give back to organisations like Mums and Bubs in Need. We recently, at a group level, voted to support Mums and Bubs in Need in Seaford, and gave quite a bit of money to them to do what they needed to do, whether it was pay the rent on their premises or buy cots or prams or even just a backpack full of clothes for a homeless mum for a newborn.
Because in lots of ways it is, whilst we know that is a big issue, it's still, it's a largely hidden issue, the issue of homelessness, people who perhaps might be moving from house to house, staying with friends, sleeping in their car, finding emergency accommodation for one night here or there, or scraping together some money to perhaps sort of be in some more secure accommodation. When you talk about that with the other women in the CWA and they say that is the issue that we think, what's driving that? I mean, what do you see is missing then, if it's kind of about a local branch of the CWA who are trying to take that issue on?
Yeah, I think it's not so much us taking it on to try and fix it. It's doing our little bit to make the difference that we can make in those circumstances. There are so many organisations on the peninsula that we could be supporting, and each year we choose a different one, whether it be at branch level or at group level. We have a Darriman Fund that each year gives to one or two organisations.
What's a Darriman Fund?
The Darriman Fund, it's actually a pile of money we have at the Mornington Peninsula group level, and the interest off that account is actually, we vote between all the branches. We nominate organisations on the peninsula to do with women and children, and then it's voted on at our group conference as to who we support that year. We can't actually support the same organisation in the 2 years following the year we've supported them. So it's always a different organisation that we're supporting, and not the one that gets our constant support. So it really does get shared around the peninsula.
So there's a whilst we have this view that it is the place where you can go and perfect your quince paste or learn how to make scones if you're lucky, and perfect those, there's a real, from what you're talking about, there's a real sense of social responsibility and good citizenship that actually is the prevailing motivation for women to be involved in these sorts of groups. Is that the thing that you feel drives the women? They're not coming along, as you say, yes, we can learn how to perfect the perfect bit of crochet or do the knitting or get my quince paste right. But there's other things going on too, by the sounds.
Absolutely. And it's nice sometimes when the two do cross over. But it's also nice to be able to give money where money is the only thing that will help, whether it's being rent for an organisation that gives back to the community itself and supports these groups, or whether it's actually supporting those people in need by providing blankets and things like that for warmth in winter, and jackets for newborn babies where mothers can't afford to buy those types of items. So it's nice when I can teach somebody how to crochet, and then out of that comes, you know, 50 centimetre by 60 centimetre blanket that heads off to the Frankston Hospital. So it's really great. And I've always said everyone has their strength, and at the CWA you can explore what yours is, whether it's fundraising at Bunnings at the Sausage Sizzle or whether it's creating something to give to somebody else.
Marnie Turner is with us. She is the founding president of the CWA Peninsula Bells on the Peninsula, spokesperson for Vic Roads, and also runs her own creative agency. The time is whizzing by. It's 18 minutes to 1 o'clock. We'll pause for a minute and have a listen to another bit of music that you brought in. We might have to try and squeeze this one a little bit tightly, but it is Jimmy Barnes and the Living End, so let's have a listen to them. It is a program of big hearts today, and that man has a big voice but also a big heart, Jimmy Barnes, and featuring Chris Chaney from The Living End and their version of Jim's song Lay Down Your Guns. Another choice from another big-hearted guest on the program today. Marnie Turner, the founding president of the CWA Peninsula Bells, runs her own creative agency, and also the day job is Vic Roads. And I need to ask you about that, Marnie Turner, because that's the thing that you've kind of had this, you go off and do your day job, which is giving people information about roads, about Vic Roads activities, and then you come home and you're a mad crafter by the sound of it.
Absolutely.
How did that sort of came out of your, so you did your degree in PR and communications and media.
Yep.
Ended up landing a job, did a little bit of work with Holden, and then ended up as Vic Rhodes' media spokesperson, and you've stayed there.
Yeah, I kind of did a bit of moonlighting in V8 supercars in between, so
it's been hence the love of Jimmy Barnes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, spent a year at Holden while I was actually doing my degree, and I think the best foundation I could have ever had going into a career of public relations. And then headed to an agency where I worked for Ford Performance Vehicles. So I went to the other side.
Ah, you're a rev head.
Yeah, I was.
You're a crafting redhead.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, crocheting in the pit lane. But
hilarious.
But yeah, I ended up in V8 supercars and then left that job and headed to Vic Rhodes 7.5 years ago, and I haven't left.
Right. And so on a weekday, you can be found hurtling up and down the freeway to your own job.
I'll say at the speed limit.
At the speed limit, of course. Always at the speed limit.
Yes, thank goodness for Peninsula Link. Yeah. So Peninsula Link, up East Link and up to Kew to head office. And I work in the traffic management centre there. So basically communicating on-road conditions and freeway conditions to the travelling public.
And how's it been? So you obviously haven't worked today.
No.
Today's a day off. Yeah.
No, usually it's a 12-hour shift, so taking in both peak hours.
It's a long day at the office.
It is, but it's only 3 days a week, so I can't complain.
Yeah. All right. So we've taken care of that.
Yep, done.
That's the thing that's ticking your bills over. So Absolutely. We all need those jobs. And we've spent a lot of time talking about your time with the CWA, but you also have your own creative agency where you are starting to really find your own feet with letterpress, which is a very, very traditional form of printing. It's a good old-fashioned printing style. We actually physically have the actual letters and print them and lay down a piece of paper and print them. That is a particular niche market of wanting to pursue that to the point where actually wanting to buy one because they're quite expensive and actually perfect that as something that you want to offer as a product to the market. Where did your love of letterpress come from?
I'm not sure, to be honest. With my business, I literally started it because my partner at the time said to me, if you don't start selling this stuff, I'm going to throw it out. So I went down to Boneo Market and I started peddling my wares. So it was as simple as that with some bookmarks and some doorstops. And it evolved into screen printing, candle making, and now letterpress.
Because the letterpress is, it's such a traditional form of printing. I mean, it's the original form of printing that's actually, you would literally lay out the letters, the words, and then put the paper down and then print and then move to the next thing. So it's a very traditional, a very meditative way, but a very physical way of putting words on a page.
Absolutely. And to think that an entire newspaper was actually printed on a letterpress, every single letter individually popped into that into its place, upside down and back the front.
Mm.
So it really was a skill to be a typesetter back in the day. And it was the way of printing newspapers up to very recently with digital printing, and then it was superseded within 10 years.
The interesting thing too about the return to, you know, we've spent a lot of time in this hour talking about making things, the power of making things, handmade things. So that's the thing that drew you to this, your involvement with the CWA, your love of crafting, knitting, the crocheting, the quince paste, the making of the prize-winning booties, all the sorts of things that you've done. But there is something quite powerful for you to be involved in the actual making of things, because wanting to be, being drawn to something as traditional, a traditional print form like letterpress is quite unusual.
Yeah, and a couple of years ago I actually went up to Collingwood and I did a course.
Big smoke.
Yes, yep, travelled off the peninsula, headed up to see Carolyn Fraser, and she had, I think it would have been 3 letterpresses, these big.
Because they're big machines.
Oh, they're about 1 to 1.5 tons.
Yeah.
And some of them are freestanding, some of them are roll platens, and it's just, I was just blown away. And the idea that these were all, you know, cast iron, and if you break a piece, it doesn't exist anymore. Mm. Nobody makes these anymore. And I think even Caslon, I've got an Adana tabletop press, in fact I've got 2, They come from England. So to get one out here is, it costs a fortune to get it out here on top of the cost of the actual letterpress itself.
But you're relentless. You're going to find one and you're going to find a room to put it in your house.
Absolutely. I think it'll be the garage when my house is finished being built at the moment.
Marnie Turner, lots of hats and a great story of a life that you mentioned you're 33. It's a big age. It's the big Jesus year, isn't it? The 33. but you know, you kept your life very much focused on the peninsula. What is it about being here and calling this place home and doing all the things that you're doing, very much involved in community but very creatively? Why have you stayed? What is it about this place that you love?
Why would you leave? I think that's the bigger question. I've worked in Brighton, I've worked in Port Melbourne, I now work in Kew, and everyone says to me, how can you commute home? Honestly, when I was in Port Melbourne at Fisherman's Bend at Holden, it was a 2-hour drive home, but I came home to a holiday destination. So why would I have it any other way? My weekends are spent down at Main Street Mornington, you know, having a breakfast down at Boys for Brekkie or out at Summers at the General Store. I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Well, it's been fabulous getting to know you and finding out a little bit more about the work of the CWA and your own aspirations as a letterpress person. Are you going to be designing your own typefaces as well? Is that part of what you're going to do, or have you got your own letter forms? Where are you getting those from?
I have some letter forms. They're in a giant pile and need to be sorted. So if you want something to do like the Tracy, feel free.
No, I've had some experience in this area and I'm happy to leave it to you, to be honest. But you're going to be designing your own typefaces as well.
Yeah, you can do it on what we call polymer plates now. So, and getting a graphic designer to do what I need to happen and sending it off to a plate maker. And that now just goes straight on a letterpress. It literally gets double sticky taped to a letterpress and it gets printed. So this traditional form that used to take hours and hours to produce is a lot simpler than what it used to be. And really the art is in the inking these days.
Incredible, and it's a beautiful, beautiful craft to be involved in, and all power to you. If people listening, I guess specifically women are listening, and they do want to get involved in the Peninsula Bells, you're pretty easy to find on the website. That's how I found you. So it's a pretty easy Google search actually to find out what the Peninsula Bells are up to, and plans for the organisation. You know, you talked about Sorrento. What other things would you like to see your group achieve?
That's the biggest thing at the moment, is the next branch that we'll be opening. So it will be a day branch down in Sorrento, and we've got information session coming up in about 2 weeks, I think it is. So if you just Google that, my phone number's on the website, Dorothy Daly, our group president, hers will be on the website. So contact one of us and we can put you in touch.
Fabulous to meet you and talk with you. Likewise. And all power to you. And I look forward to my annual trip to the show, the Royal Agricultural Show. I always love going into the Preserve Hall, but also to go and see the CWA ladies and have a scone and a cup of tea and a good old catch up.
Fabulous.
Let's finish with another track for Marnie. And I think we all run to paradise when we come to the peninsula. These are the Choir Boys. It is such a great track, isn't it? The Choir Boys and the song from them called Run to Paradise. We're a few minutes away from the 1 o'clock news here on RPP FM on this Friday, the 1st of July, of course. Election Eve, there is the big federal election tomorrow, and between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. you can make your mark if you haven't already done so. Thanks so much for your company on this Friday. Thanks also to our guest, Marnie Turner from the CWA, the local branch, the Peninsula Bells, and many other hats that she wears as well, works at VicRoads and also her own PR creative agency. That website, that podcast will be up on the RPP website within a couple of hours, and our thanks to Michael who makes that possible every Friday.